Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you provided the way that we can come before our holy God.
Right.
That there will be a day when we are able to stand in your presence and along with those angels sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord."
Yes.
That is a privilege beyond measure that we did not deserve, but that you loved us enough to make a way.
Right.
And we are so grateful. We thank you so much.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, open our hearts to hear your word today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 I guess one of the first lessons that a kid gets to learn is that life is not fair.
Amen.
And probably exactly the way that it gets said. I don't know if my parents ever said that to me or not, but I certainly remember hearing it often enough. Life's not fair. Get over it.
Exactly.
There are things that just don't seem right, don't seem fair. Somebody at work gets a promotion that you think you deserve. Or you put your heart into something and nobody even seems to notice.
Right.
It's just what was expected. You don't get any special recognition. And sometimes it hurts a little bit.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Or maybe some inexperienced upstart comes in and steals your show. Just doesn't seem right. And we have a natural reaction to that. Our natural reaction to that kind of thing is maybe a little bit of resentment. Maybe a little bit of envy. Why in the world should he or she get that when I didn't get that?
Right.
Maybe we even start complaining. And when that starts happening, then you have division. You have a breakdown of unity. You have problems that result from that. And unfortunately, churches are not immune. Sometimes churches almost seem to intensify it. Because the churches are all full of people. And though we may be trying to do better, we still fall into those old patterns. Fall short of the goal. But what we need to understand is that God sees things differently. God doesn't measure things the same way that we measure. Mm-hmm. He doesn't measure by how much we do. He doesn't measure by how much we have. He doesn't measure by our social status. He doesn't even measure by our ability. His economy is driven by entirely different things that seem completely out of sync with the way that the world works and the way that it seems things work around us. Because God's economy, God's merit system, if you will, is driven by mercy, by love, by devotion.
Amen. Thank goodness.
God is after your heart.
Yes.
Your works matter, yes they do. But only when they are grown from faith. All we need to do is answer when he calls.
Amen.
If we looked at things his way, we'd see things a little differently. If we looked at things his way, we wouldn't be jealous when others get more than we get. More than they deserve. Because for one thing, who are we to say what they deserve?
That's right.
That's between them and God. Because we all get better than we deserve. When you come to realize how much grace that you got, it's a little bit easier to give other people grace.
Amen.
And it becomes then a cause for rejoicing. When we're looking at things God's way, when we love people the way he loves them, then we can rejoice when they get something.
Amen.
We can rejoice when something good happens to them.
Amen.
And even the more so if they didn't really have it coming. Because we have a gracious Father.
We do.
Amen. We have a gracious Father. And what that means when you see that happen, it means it can happen to you.
Amen.
If we are working with some expectation other than that, if we're working out of some idea that we're owed something, we've completely missed the point. And what are we really working for?
Right.
We're going to look at a passage of Scripture today that is actually a continuation of what we looked at last week. Last week we looked at the story of the rich young ruler, as we call him, who came to Jesus all excited. He's going to get this one last thing. What must I do? But Jesus asked him some questions then. And he works his way into the heart of the matter. He says, all right, if you really want to be perfect and give up everything you have to come follow me.
Amen.
And that was too much.
Right.
Then Jesus then goes on to answer Peter's question. What are we going to have? We dropped everything to follow you. What are we going to have? But he answers it with a warning, saying that, yeah, you're going to get a reward. It may not be what you think. It may not be when you think. You're going to get a reward. You're going to be rewarded in this age and in the age to come. But it's a spiritual reward.
Amen.
And the things that you think that you want right now, these things that would make you first in the eyes of the world, he says in that last verse, the last shall be first and the first shall be last.
That's right.
So you need to think differently about what you're asking for. Because the only thing that really matters is relationship to Jesus.
Amen. That's true.
Now Jesus is going to continue speaking here. In Matthew, he continues on speaking. As you see there at the beginning of chapter 20, I only have on the screen the 8 through 16, so you might want to have the text. If you have access to the Bible text in some way, you may want to pull it up and be looking at chapter 20 there. In verse 1, he says, "For the kingdom of God is like." In other words, he's still talking. And he speaks about the vineyard owner. Then, who hires, and we all probably know the story, if we grew up in church, he hires people to go work in his vineyard. And he goes out first thing in the morning and gets some, and then he goes out again at 9 o'clock in the morning and gets some, and he goes out a couple more times, finally at 5 o'clock, when it's almost quit time, he goes out and gets one last batch. And that's where, then he, at the end of the day, he's ready to pay them. And that's where we're going to pick up. I'm going to pick up reading in verse 8. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first." When those hired about the 11th hour, that'd be 5 in the afternoon, came, each one received a denarius. That would be a day's wage. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the heat and the burden in the scorching heat of the day." But he answered and said to one of them, "Friend, I have been doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first last. You see him ending with the same thing that he started with back in the last chapter. This all goes together. He opens with the kingdom of heaven is like. You'll see this throughout the Gospels, but in particularly in Matthew, you find this from about chapter 13 on, interspersed with other things that are going on. Jesus will take a moment and give an illustration. He'll begin it with the kingdom of God is like, or the kingdom of God can be compared to. And he's using these illustrations to show that God's kingdom is not anything like the earthly kingdom, which they may have been expecting. And we know that his followers believed, those who believed in him still had this idea that he was going to upend the existing power structure and Israel was going to receive his kingdom right then and there. But Jesus is telling them all along these various different ways, you're looking for the wrong thing. That's not how the kingdom of God is going to work.
Amen.
But he taught them a kingdom not like any that they had ever known. So following this phrase, he would begin to explain. And first, let's look at the agreement that he made. Nothing strange here, nothing unusual here. You do a day's work, you expect a day's wage. But the agreement is very specific for that first group who showed up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You're going to do a day's work, I'm going to give you a day's labor. But when he picks up the second group, he says something different. And I presume he says, whatever is right, I will give you. And some of your translations may have at the last time, when he goes and gets the last group, they may have the same phrase. Not all the translations have that. But we can reasonably assume that he would have said the same thing to each group. But he's not specific. He just says, whatever is right, I'll give you.
Right.
Now, there's an important point to realize here. He's a landowner. As he said when he rebuked those who challenged him, he said, is it not right for me to do with whatever I want with my stuff? So he's, by the fact that he did it, now only God can say this kind of thing, but by the fact that he did it, it was right.
That's right.
We don't have any right to question. So then he pays out at the end of the day, and everybody gets a day's wage. Even those folks that only work for an hour. And he started by paying them first. And of course, those who were there all day are a little bit indignant at this. But they weren't treated unfairly. They were jealous because of the fortune of those who came after them. Mm-hmm. And they lay claim to rights that really they do not have. And we want to do the same thing. We assume that by our own merit, if we're doing what we think we're supposed to do, and somebody else comes along who hasn't done what we think is enough, and they get more, well, then we think we ought to get even more.
Right.
But we don't have the right to decide. That right's not ours.
No.
We're not the owner of the land.
No.
They presumed upon the grace of the owner. If he gave this to somebody else, then he should give this to me.
Right.
And then they became angry when he denies them their presumption. Jesus, as we've said, has just been talking about the rich young ruler. They just had that interaction with the rich young ruler. This guy who had it all according to the world standards. he would have been considered among the first. But Jesus forced him to choose. Do you want all this, or do you want what really matters? And then we have Peter's question, to which Jesus responds with the promise of reward. But that reward's not going to be obtained by worldly means. And it comes with a side of persecution, by the way. But this story illustrates God's grace to the undeserving.
Amen.
And the same grace is available to all. It actually is a counter. I read this in one of the study materials that I had. There was actually a counter parable. He's speaking in opposition to a Jewish parable of the time that said exactly the opposite. It said, "Yeah, the Gentiles will, if they serve, they'll get their reward, but Israel's going to get more." And Jesus turned that around. Told it exactly the opposite way. And the allusion here is to the Jewish leaders who were going to exhibit jealousy over what was happening, over Jesus and over his followers. But the Lord says that he is going to use all of this. He is eventually going to bring Israel back.
Amen.
His covenant with them stands. That agreement that he made with them stands. It didn't go anywhere.
Amen.
They're going to receive what they were promised. Mm-hmm. And he's done them no wrong. But if we look at these things from a selfish perspective, because we all like to be first. Who doesn't like to be first?
Everybody wants to be first.
And we think that there are some benefits that ought to come with being first, right? And companies try to sell us on this all the time. They try to make it out like, well, you're something special. We're going to treat you different. We're going to treat you special. Why? Because they're appealing to that within us. We like that.
Right.
And we think that treatment is somehow merited sometimes by our own efforts. Now these workers had an agreement. And they did what they were supposed to do. They did what was required of them.
Amen.
And they received what they were promised. But there's nothing special in that. There's nothing particularly commendable in that. I mean, certainly we should all do that. But Jesus says over in Luke chapter 17, verse 10, he says, when you've done everything that you're supposed to do, say we are unworthy servants. We've only done that which was our duty. Because he's looking for something more than that. He's looking for what's in your heart.
Amen.
We cannot work our way, and we know this. This is drummed into us as Baptists, right? We cannot work our way into heaven.
That's right.
Now, if they had decided to do more, stay a few extra hours, well, then we might have a whole different story. But we assume too much by the favor that is given us. And this selfish perspective leads to bitterness when things don't work out the way we think they ought to.
Right.
It affects our relationships. It affects our relationships with others, whether that be in the workplace, whether that be in our families. You see this all the time with the little kids, right?
Amen.
They're always fighting over who gets more.
Right.
And it affects us in our churches. Shouldn't, but it does. We all know it. We've all seen it.
Amen.
It also affects our relationship with God.
Amen.
Some of us have served Him for all practical purposes all of our lives. We got saved as little kids, and that's all we've ever known. And we know what we should do, and although any of us who's honest is going to admit that we didn't always, mostly we've done it. But does He have our hearts? Because this is not about following all the rules. We know this. It's about, does He have our hearts? Does we have a relationship with Him?
Amen.
Do we seek Him? Do we seek Him for who He is? Or do we seek Him for what He has? See the difference? And parents know this. Parents know, you know, when all of a sudden out of the blue, your kid comes running up and gives you a big hug, and then pulls back and they got their hand out, can I have? It sort of takes all the joy out of it.
Yep.
But we do that. We do that to our Heavenly Father.
Yes, we do.
Do we, like the Jews of Jesus' day, imagine that if we keep our version of the law, whatever that looks like, every denomination has its variation, that He must then accept us? No, that's not how it works. And then some of us have not known Him very long. We just found Him. The wonderful thing, the beautiful thing is whether you've been a child of God for 40 years or 4 minutes, you got the same salvation.
That's right.
You become a new creation. God gets your heart and He begins a new thing in you.
That's right.
God is gracious and God is merciful. But we ought not to presume upon Him.
Exactly.
He decides what is right. We don't decide what is right.
Amen.
He said the first will be last, and the last will be first. Many who are first in this world will be last in God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we let the world standards even into our churches. We start looking at somebody who's well off or who is put together and smooth in their presentation. That lets me out. And you know, we start looking at that as the standard. And certainly, you know, people are gifted by God in certain ways, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's not what I'm saying. But the standards are internal, not external.
Right.
And we should take care lest we be among those who are last because we put our emphasis on the wrong things.
That's right, exactly.
Greatness in God's kingdom is achieved through love, devotion, humility, and servanthood.
It's true. Amen.
God is the one who rules, and He has chosen to give grace to all. All we have to do is be willing.
It's true.
To work for Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making a way. None of this would be possible without what You did. Everything that we have is by Your grace and by Your mercy. And we are so thankful and we're so grateful. Help us, Lord, as we begin the process, as we continue the process of transformation, as we continue the process of growing and learning and becoming even more so what You have called us to be. The world changes around us, and we We need to adapt and we need to follow what you're doing today. And I thank you because I know that you're giving us, you're going to show us the path. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah.